Hello, this is Saul Gonzalez, lead pastor of Lifehouse Church, and welcome to our podcast. Thank you so very much for joining us today. I believe that through this message, God will encourage you, challenge you, and better yet, change you for the glory of God and for the purposes God has called you. Enjoy this message. Hello, greetings and blessings to everybody. I'd like again to invite you to put on your spiritual cap, thinking cap. I'd like for you to give the Holy Spirit allowances to move and speak to your heart, to enter into those crevices of routine, rut, and rot, to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in your life. So many of us perhaps have a background in Christianity, and yet there's not that much depth. There's no impression, there's no notice, if you will, indications that your life and mine are going to be able to shake the dust off this season of uncertainty and maybe even apathy. This is Saul Gonzalez from Lifehouse to your house, and I pray to your heart. I want to speak on a subject of barren but not hopeless, or hope for the barren. Hope for the barren. And I want to take you to the parable in chapter 13 of Luke of this fig tree that was barren. It was planted, it was rooted, but not productive, not fruitful. And many of us are there. You're in a place in between productivity and barrenness. You're lost, you're concerned, you're hurt, you're in pain, you're distraught, there's anxiety. And because of many features, if we would call them precursors, if you will, of these these contraceptives, spiritual contraceptives, you've not been able to bear fruit. Or if you do, and when your spirit becomes fertile, or when your spirit becomes pregnant with hope, something comes away, these contraceptives, if you will, and takes away your fruitfulness, your joy, your peace, the efficacy that God has called you to live. I want to speak hope for the barren. I want those of us that are struggling to break out of this routine, to break out of your rut. In Jesus' name, I want to speak life, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to use this message to just provide you the experience of a personal spiritual breakthrough. Some of you need enlightenment. Some of us need direction. We need wisdom. We need for God to open fresh doors, new opportunities. You need to see the future the way God sees it, and not the way your present circumstances are unfolding. Luke chapter 13, just read together, and then I'm going to share this message that I've entitled Hope for the Barren. Then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, "I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden." The gardener answered, "Sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down." I've always enjoyed and been challenged by this parable. This parable is pretty scary, to be honest with you. It's pretty scary because it talks about Jesus, or about God who's a steward, about God who plants you and me in a fertile ground, or in a church, or in a place of ministry or service, and then He expects outcomes. He expects productivity. You would, and I would, if you planted a tree in your garden or in your yard and it was a fruit tree, you would expect it to bear fruit. If not, after some time, you too would decide to cut it down because it is not producing. Most of us should ask ourselves this question: just what kind of tree am I? Because there are several types of trees that are designed for specific purposes. There are ornamental trees. This is the tree designed to bring about beauty or aesthetics, to make a landscape look good in front of a building, etc. And that has a purpose. Some perhaps are shade trees, designed because they grow big and tall and round, and they provide somebody the comfort of shade. And then we have your fruit tree. And I pray and I believe that Jesus designed all of us to be at least a fruit tree. If you happen to give shade, I think that's a blessing. If you happen to be a fruit tree that gives shade and is ornamental, you look good, like I know of a person that looks good. And I love that person, and that person I hope is fruitful, and I hope provides great shade for people to come around and receive comfort. And I pray that in doing that, it looks good. I'm referring to none other than yours truly, of course. But I think you can be all three, but I pray none of us, none of you, is just merely ornamental. I think it would be a waste. I think it would be a travesty. I think that for many of us, we've been a Christian for so long that you need to ask yourself, are you bearing fruit? Are you making a difference? If so, how do you know? What is it that you're doing? Your life with Christ, your walk with Christ, where you've transitioned from just being a believer to a close follower that takes up your cross, to a disciple that gives your life and gives it up so that Jesus can use it for His glory, and that you become a disciple that disciples, that leads others. You become a tree that is just not looking good and provide people comfort or shade, if you will, in the positive way of saying that, but that you are fruitful. That when God comes and the Holy Spirit inspects your heart, your life, that there is rich fruit, the fruit of the Spirit of God, love, peace, joy, gentleness, kindness, meekness, the kind of fruit that it says it's faithful and of self-control. Not just the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit of God are evident in your life. But I pray that when the Holy Spirit comes by and inspects, that He finds you planted in a life house or in a house near you or a church that is like a life house. I pray that you create in your home a life house. We are moving toward transitioning toward life groups. And I pray that one of the ways that you can make sure that your life counts, that your life is producing fruit, that your life is being impactful, meaningful, that others are drawing life from you, inspiration, is that you become a disciple that disciples others. In Jesus' name, we're inviting you to join in either our life groups that are via remote and or virtual, digital, and that you can begin to choose and select the one that is best for you, that meets your needs, or that is going to help you grow. Or I pray that if the leader in you decides to contact this church and say, how can I lead and how do I get resources and training to also provide not just good looks and ornamental qualities and shade, if you will, but how is it that others can come to your life and pick fruit that is comforting, that is inspiring, that is instructive, that is life-giving fruit? Because Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the tree. You and I are the branches. And Jesus says in John chapter 15 that if you're disconnected, separated, if your branch is not connected to Jesus the vine, Jesus the root or the trunk of the tree, then outside of that, apart from God, separated from Christ, we and you, you and I can do nothing. No fruit. You and I are just ornamental trees at best, ornamental at best. Perhaps provide some shade, some comfort to family members that look at you or look to you for leadership and perhaps comfort, but the words are not powerful. Your relationship with God is not where it should be. You don't know what to do or what to say when the problem arises. And I just want to encourage you to really answer that question. What kind of tree are you? In this parable, we see that God comes, the owner of the garden comes to inspect. And you should expect God to inspect your life from time to time. He gives them 3 years. For 3 years, you've been planted. This is a clear reference of Jesus being on earth, on His ministry, on mission for 3 years. At this time, it had been 3 years. And Jesus is telling His disciples and telling especially the Pharisees that, hey, I've been here and you've been hearing my words for 3 years, and yet there is no fruit. There's no outcomes. There's no ministry. There's no evidence that you are making a difference or that you are bearing fruit like every planted tree in the house of God or in the kingdom of God in God's garden should be careful, should be aware that that is God's expectations. There are several parables in the scripture that are in the synoptic gospels. And these parables are there designed to move you, to tell a story that is comparative, illustrative, if you will, to move you to ask yourself questions. And then most of them leave you with a conclusive answer. They have a punchline. They have a bottom line. This, along with 9 other parables, like the parable of the prodigal son, are open-ended. We don't know how this parable ends. We just know that the gardener is saying to the master, give me time. Give me time to work with this fruitless tree. It looks good. It's got the leaves, but no figs. Give me time to work with this tree. Give me time to burrow around it, dig around it. Let me look if there's an area, an issue that is wrong with the roots. Perhaps there's no nutrition. Let me fertilize it. Let me work with this. Let me give it special attention. According to the NLT version, let me give this single tree special attention. That's the God you and I serve. He's the God that gives you and I special attention. He loves you. He has a plan for your life, and He wants you. He needs you. He's counting on you to bear fruit, to be full of fruit, to have others be able to be blessed and benefit from your life, connected to Christ, from your life in Christ. The answer about whether God wants to bless you, the answer is yes, and a resounding 1,000 times yes. Does God want to use you? Yes, and 1,000 times God wants to use you. Does God expect fruit from your life? Evidence, if you will, that your life is being productive, being meaningful. And the answer is yes, and 1,000 times yes. And without that proof, you and I are in a heap of trouble, because there is a dire consequence of this parable. There is this eerie, very scary, if you will, and I say that with all due respect. There is an intentionality, there is a severity that is implied explicitly in this parable, that the absence of fruit will lead toward a cutting off, if you will lead to an uprooting. Because sometimes you and I are just occupying the space of the master gardener, of the owner of the orchard, of the vineyard, and you and I are just occupying space, drawing the nutrients, if you will, from the ground, and not being fruitful. And God says, the God that is patient, the God that is waiting for you, the God that is willing to work with you, the Holy Spirit also has a time limit. He has a time limit where not only is there a time limit with respect to His patience and His overall sphere of waiting, His sphere of expecting, but also you and I have a time limit. I want you to remember that you and I were created for a specific time frame in life, a window, if you will, of time, space, and opportunity. That if you and I miss that window, there's nothing that's keeping you, that is going to have you become a 30-year-old again if you're 40, or if you're 50 and 60. You cannot reverse time. That window continues to close, and there is a time limit. And because God works within certain time frames, He is compelled. He is motivated. He warns this fig tree, get your act together. You've got one more chance, one more year. Get ready, get productive, get fed, get in the Word, start drawing from the Holy Spirit, life and ideas and the sharpness, the cutting edge that you need to speak life into your home, your marriage, your kids, and then speak life into others, and that have them also draw fruit, because God expects you to. So this parable, it calls us to examine yourself, to examine your branches, to examine your life, because each of us will have to give an account to God with respect, not to what you say and how you look or where you're planted, but you and I will give an account to whether you and I produced fruit. Evidentiary evidence, if you will, that your life has made a difference, is making an impact, and it's not just about talk, it's about your walk. Secondly, God does not want to cut you down. He does not want to just come and exterminate or eliminate you. That's not God's plan, but He does want to shake you. He wants to wake you, and He wants to make you productive. I want to say that again. God does not want to cut you, but to shake and wake and make you productive in keeping with the potential that He's already created within you. He wants to use you to make a difference. God wants to use you for His glory. God wants you to have the feeling, the thought, the knowledge that you're making a difference, that the life of Christ in you, that you connected to Christ, is creating in you the ability to bear fruit, and not only to bear fruit, but to share fruit. One thing is for us to bear fruit, but most of us are not willing to share it, because it takes time, it takes commitment to be part of a life group, to move forward and disciple. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in the mornings, in your Bible reading, in your prayer time, and then be willing to take a risk. Be willing to call friends. Be willing to be that person that does evangelism through relationships, through connections, through your sphere of influence that God has given you. I'm telling you, this is the crux of the message. God does not want to cut you. He doesn't want to threaten you. This is not a way to have fear be a motivator, but He wants to shake you, and He wants to wake you, and He wants to make you into a disciple that disciples others, because in the heart of God, there is no intention to eliminate you, but rather to form you and to make you and to use you and to use the time, space, and opportunity that He's given you toward you becoming a channel and a vessel that God uses. That is God's original plan. In John chapter 15, Jesus says the following, that I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. That is so powerful to know that God wants you to be even more fruitful and that He allows a time or a season of pruning, of pain, no doubt, to bring about the better you, to bring about a more refined, a more purified you through the prism, if you will, and through the fire of tests and trials. I love verse 4. He says that, remain in me, and that's your target. That's your objective, is to remain connected, rooted, if you will, in your local church, in Jesus Christ, and I, as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Watch verse 7. It's powerful. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you would bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. In other words, if you remain in Jesus and His word remains in you, to the Father's glory, you will bear much fruit. That is to, again, God says, I will receive glory. And that is the objective. It's for God to receive the glory. It's not just about you bearing fruit and being fruitful. At the end of the day, God wishes to receive the glory. That makes it all possible. That's what makes it all justifiable. That is the reason Christ died at the cross, is that Jesus, with Jesus's life in you, through you, would bear fruit and God the Father would receive the glory. I love verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And I believe that that is so powerful. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you, and that you've been chosen and appointed to go and bear much fruit so that that fruit would perdure. It would last. It would be hopeful. It would bring hope and it would bring meaning to many others in that God has placed around your sphere and around your life. I want to just conclude with some thoughts and maybe some root causes that create and cause infertility. What are some reasons and some root causes that, or some spiritual contraceptives, if you will, that prevent you from becoming fruitful, from being fruitful? Or what is it that when God sows that seed, that vision in your spiritual womb, a lot of us miscarry so that we do not bring it to fruition, if you will? I just want to tell you, all of us need to be careful with sin. Every type of sin, hidden sin, unconfessed sin, unconfronted sin. Sin is a killer, period. It will keep you from bearing fruit. It is probably the most pernicious contraceptive, spiritual contraceptive, that keeps you from conceiving and from bearing fruit, from giving birth, if you will. Also, selfishness. Selfishness is when you see yourself first. And everything revolves around you, even God. You want God and His plan to revolve around your prosperity, your blessing, your happiness, your marriage. And it's not about you, it's about Christ. And I believe that a lot of us are not bearing fruit, not because you don't want to, it's because you, at the end of the day, you and I are selfish at our core. We've not been able to divest ourselves of self. And the other is sensuality. I think that all of us have to be careful. Every man out there, every woman, every young man and young lady, careful, not with just with sin or selfishness, but sensuality, a spirit or a lifestyle of promiscuity. a spirit or a lifestyle of sexual promiscuity, where you push the envelope and you go beyond the pale. Your past, your present, your pride, your prejudice, your toxic and negative emotions, your spiritual idleness or apathy or indifference, all of those can be spiritual contraceptives that keep you not only from conceiving, but from bearing fruit. And my counsel today is that let's get our act together with God. Let's pray and let's ask God for divine intervention. I want the Holy Spirit to really minister. I want each and every one of us to ask God, change me. Help me evolve. Help me grow. Let me be fruitful. I don't want to just look good. I don't want to just provide shade. I want to be fruitful. I want there to be evidence that my life has meaning, it has significance, it has purpose, and that to my successes, one of those successes is that God is using your life and my life to make a difference and to the glory of God. I want to pray. I want to pray this simple prayer. I'd like for everyone to repeat this. If you don't have a relationship with Christ Jesus, repeat it truly from your heart. But everyone, let's ask and let's pray, everyone together, say, Lord Jesus, change me. Lord Jesus, transform me. Lord Jesus, make me fruitful. Thank you for the spirit of faithfulness and being faith-filled, but make me fruitful. Make me fruitful. Make me fruitful by and through the power of your Holy Spirit in my life. Help me stay connected to Christ Jesus, the vine, the Word. If my words are in you, Jesus says, and you stay connected to me and my Word, then you will bear much fruit. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this blessing. I thank you for this church. I thank you for every person who embraces the challenge to bear fruit, that there is hope for the barren, for those of us that are struggled and are barren in many ways, even physically. In Jesus' name, God can make you fruitful. He can take that womb and heal it. He can take your wounds and heal them. He can take your scars and use them to just have you remember His faithfulness, that those wounds get healed, that your womb, your spiritual, physical womb, can receive life in Jesus' name to bear children in Jesus' name. For the believer that has been idle and apathetic and indifferent, in Jesus' name, I pray He wakes you. I pray that He shakes that spirit of conformism and apathy and indifference in Jesus' name, that He would wake you up in the morning with the desire and the hunger and the passion to spend time in His Word, becoming that disciple that disciples others and that says yes to God to make and be and bear fruit. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, to the glory of God the Father. I want to thank everyone for your viewership. Thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank everyone that walks in keeping with God's calling to this church, to Lifehouse, to lead thousands of people, thousands to know God, to grow in community, and then to go share the gospel, go serve and make a difference. Thank you for your gifts, your donations, your tithes, your offerings, big, large or small, they're making a difference. Thank you for your faithfulness. And then I pray that you would get connected with a life group. Right now, look for information on your screen on how to call, how to go to our website, how to search that menu, and then find that life group virtually that God wants to connect you with. It's easy, or we will have life groups in person here at Lifehouse. Just find the times and the one that is best for you. And then I want to thank you again. I pray for you and your family that in this season of uncertainty, of chaos, tumult, and just total disorder, that the Holy Spirit would help you and I navigate. Thank you for your prayers. Pray for Linda, my wife, and my kids. Pray for this church. I love you. We need you more than ever. And again, thank you for following us and for just sharing this message. If it's been a blessing to you, let it be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, God bless you and we love you. Thank you so very much for joining us today on the Lifehouse Podcast. I pray and hope this message has encouraged, inspired, and challenged you to grow closer to God. If you would like to be a part of what God is doing here at Lifehouse, visit our website at lifehousechurch.com. That's lifehousechurch.com for more information, or consider subscribing and share it with one of your friends and family. Thank you again for being part of our journey, your journey, that will lead you to know God better, grow together, and go serve and make a difference. Thank you again. God bless you. See you next time.